Morning once again from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church, and a warm welcome to our weekly Bible study. Thank you for joining with us once again, and I do pray that the Lord richly bless you wherever you are, and you'll even be encouraged through God's precious word this evening. Do remember our services as they continue each Sunday, 11:30 in the church itself and 7 p.m. online. We do extend each one a warm welcome if you're in the area. Do come and join with us as we worship the Lord on the Sunday morning. Now I invite you, if you have your Bible, to open it this evening once again, the book of Jeremiah and the chapter 29. The book of Jeremiah and the chapter 29, we began looking at these wonderful verses last week, and we want to return and finish off our little study in this passage this evening. The book of Jeremiah and the chapter 29. I'm going to take the time just to read those five verses once again, beginning at the verse number 10 and reading down to the end of verse 14. So Jeremiah 29 and the verse number 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. And we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to each and to every heart. As I said, we're returning to consider the second part in our message, encouragement for the downhearted. Encouragement for the downhearted. But let's look to the Lord in the word of prayer, even now, that he will come and speak to us this evening. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee, come into thy most holy presence in and through the name and the person of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We do rejoice in our God. We rejoice in our Saviour, the only Redeemer of God's elect. We thank thee for his sacrifice upon the cross. We do rejoice in the covenant of grace, that covenant which was set in stone even from all eternity past. We thank thee, O God, that our Lord and Saviour, he fulfilled every aspect of that covenant. And he came to this earth and he lived a life of perfection. He died that substitutionary death upon the cross in our stead. We thank thee, O God, this night that we have one there in heaven, one who knows us and one who loves us and one who even speaks now for us. Lord, we just commit our time into thy hands again. Thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, for the joy that it is to have thy word, to be able to read it and to study it together. And oh, once again, that we will have that encouragement from it, that if there be those that are listening in that are downhearted at this time, discouraged because of life circumstances and the providences even in their own situations, oh, that they will find that encouragement and that comfort in thy word. Bless us now. Help us by thy Spirit. Give us that fresh infilling, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Johann Wolfgang stated this, correction does much, but encouragement does more. Encouragement after censure is as the sun after the shower. Last week in our prayer meeting, we began to look at these verses together, and verses which were given to the Israelites to encourage them for their time of captivity in Babylon. We highlighted the parallel of captivity with the trials and the hardships of life that we all experience and we all endure from time to time, and how there are those occasions when our minds can be held captive by what is going on in our lives. Last Wednesday, we only got the first point covered, and we looked at the pronouncement of the Lord in the verse number 10, and the blessings and the wonderful promises which are found in that pronouncement, the promise that the captivity would come to an end, the promise that God would visit them even in the midst of their captivity, and the promise of a good word even towards his people. You know, that verse in itself, the verse number 10, has so much joy and encouragement in it, and yet the Lord proceeds to give even more encouragement. As he's speaking through his prophet Jeremiah, he doesn't just stop at the end of verse 10 and leave it there for the people, but rather he gives them even more joy, even more encouragement, more comfort to be found even in his precious word. So we continue and we come to the verse 11, first of all this evening, and I want you to see the purpose of the Lord. The purpose of the Lord. The verse number 11, Jeremiah speaking on behalf of the Lord, he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, there are times in the midst of our trials and hardships, there are times in the midst of our great persecutions, our great troubles, that we sit back and we ask the question, why? Why does God allow such things to happen to us? Why does God allow such things to happen to me? We bring it right down into the personal. We can look at others around us, other family, friends, neighbors, others in the community, and we look at them and we think, oh, their lives are so great. Their lives are so enjoyable. There's so much happiness in them. There's so much comfort and joy within them. Why are they having it so good and I'm having it so bad? Why does the Lord constantly send this upon me? What is his thinking behind it? What could possibly be of a benefit to me going through all of these trials? You know, God's thoughts are like God. They are as wonderful as himself. They are as worthy as himself. And all of God's ways are a result of his thoughts. And you think of the three great aspects in relation even that we can see in the workings of God: creation, providence, and redemption. And you think of creation in all of its vastness and all of its completeness. God created the heavens and the earth in the space of 6 days. And all of it very good. All of that creation was as a result of the thought of God. A thought that embraced all of the details of the work of his word, because it was through the speaking voice of God that all of creation came into existence. He never created anything with hands. He simply spoke it into existence. And each word as a result of his thought. You think of providence. You think of all of providence and what a massive subject, what a massive encompassing act providence is. The heights, the depths of it, the lengths, the breadths. All of providence is God's thought. It's a thought that takes into existence the entire history of the human race. Because all of history is his story. All of history is the working and it is the providence of God. It's all in relation to Christ. All of history. From the dawn of time, from that first day in the creation, whenever the light and the separated from the darkness, and even the first day in relation to the existence of mankind, the sixth day, and all that God created, all of the history that there's been of the human race, is all as a result of God's providence, which is part of God's thought. You think of redemption as well. The magnitude and the majesty of the gospel is in the thought of God. That plan of salvation for the Son of God to become both God and man, and then to enter into time itself, to come down into this world, to be made under the law, to undergo the miseries of this life, and to fulfill every aspect of the law. He was the lawgiver, and yet he made himself in subjection to the law, and he fulfilled it perfectly. Then as our substitute, he went to the cross. And he took our punishment upon himself. All of it was from the thought and the plan of God. Is it any wonder when you consider creation, providence, redemption, you consider the mind, the thoughts of God, is it any wonder that the Lord says in Isaiah 55, the verses 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We will never, ever reach the thoughts and the understanding of God. R.C. Sproul, writing on this, he said, we will never understand God exhaustively, but what we do understand about him is real. He went on to say, the more that I learn about God, the more aware I become of what I don't know about him. You know, God is infinite in knowledge. His understanding, his thoughts, his purposes, the depth of his thoughts are so far beyond us. There's not a man has ever been able to comprehend God completely. The only one who can understand God is God. That's what it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, the verse 11. It says, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. God, the depth of his thinking, the depth of his thoughts, the great majesty even in those thoughts. And yet you look at the verse 11, it says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God thinks thoughts not just about us. God thinks thoughts toward us. You know, that statement alone, it's simple, yes, but it's sublime. Child of God, he knows everything about you. He has numbered the hairs of your head. He knows every sorrow in your life. He knows every joy. And each and every sorrow and each and every joy is calculated and catalogued by him. He has taken a record. He knows everything. Our tears are even gathered up and placed in that bottle. He knows our downsetting. He knows our uprising. He knows your going outs. He knows your coming ins. He's mindful of you and he's mindful of me. And he sends thoughts toward us. You know, there's never a thoughtless action on the part of God. The thoughts towards his people are thoughts of peace. Now, what a mercy when we consider the fact that we were at once at enmity with God. There was a time that we hated God. We hated the things of God. We had no desire to have anything to do with God. Our sins separated us. It was that great gulf fixed between us and God. We couldn't approach him. We had no desire to. And yet through Christ, that gulf has been breached. We can now draw nigh to God, and he can draw nigh to us. Through Christ, he now has thoughts of peace towards us. No longer is it thoughts of wrath because of our sin. But rather when he looks upon us, he sees his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his thoughts toward his people are thoughts of peace. You know, maybe in the midst of your trials and your sorrows, and all of the hardships as you're going through them day by day in your lives, you wake up in the morning, your minds are captive. You go to bed at night, your mind is captive. You toss, you turn, you can't sleep. And you wonder to yourself, what peaceable thoughts are there towards me? My mind's not at peace. My person isn't at peace. My life certainly has no peace. It's upside down. I've no peace of mind. I'm under the burdens of sorrow. You keep asking the questions, why me? Why now? What did I do? When will it be over? And yet the Lord says he thinks thoughts of peace towards us. You know, whenever we consider in the scriptures those of the three great times of hardship, our minds go to men like Joseph. You think Joseph had thoughts like that? You consider his treatment at the hands of his brothers. They sold him to Ishmaelites. He was sold down into Egypt. You think of his treatment at the hands of his brothers. You think of his trouble at the hands of Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. How many times, I wonder, did he question? Whenever he was being carted off to Egypt, I wonder, did he think, why me? Why now? whenever he was in Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife made that accusation against him, and he was cast into prison. He went from ruling in a household and having a good living and a good job within that household, and now he's in prison. I wonder, did he sit in that damp, dark prison and ask the questions, well, why me, why now? But yet, you know, it tells us a wonderful thing in Genesis 39. At every single point in Joseph's hardship, you know what it says in Genesis 39:2, Genesis 39:21, Genesis 39:23, says three wonderful statements, exact same thing, time and time again. The Lord was with Joseph. Oh yes, he suffered awful treatment. Yes, he had awful trouble. But guess what? Ultimately, the thoughts of God and the thoughts that God had toward Joseph led to a wonderful triumph. Because Joseph was raised up out of the prison. He became second in command in the whole of Egypt. He was raised up as a savior of the Egyptians. He was raised up to prepare the people for the time of famine that was coming. He testified in Genesis 15, verse 20, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. You see, Joseph, he realized God's thoughts towards me. Yes, there were thoughts of peace. And even through all of the hardships, and they were for years, by the way. Years. And yet, the Lord meant it for good. With thoughts of peace. What about Job? Job lost all of his children. He lost his wealth, his possessions, he lost his health. He was left with his wife, and his wife told him, curse God and die. But he wouldn't. He didn't understand what was happening in his life. He didn't understand why he was living. He was obedient to the Lord. It tells us in Job 1, he offered sacrifices unto the Lord. He was in daily communion with the Lord. He was walking and living as he ought to. And yet all of that trouble, all of those trials came upon him. And his wife just said to him, curse God and die. But he wouldn't. He trusted God and he trusted the mind of God. Job 12 and verse 9, he said, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. And his wife saying, no, Job, blame God, curse him and die. And Job says, no. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his actions in even taking away everything. Blessed be his mind and the thoughts that he's had towards me. Blessed be his will, which is coming to pass. And Job, by the end of the book, yes, he was tested, he was tried. But Job, by the power of the Spirit of God within him, he was able to come through that time of trouble, that time of testing. There was a time of joy at the end of the book. You finish the book of Job, it tells you. The Lord blessed him, raised up his farm, his income, his health once again, and he had 10 more children. You see, God's thoughts towards us are wonderful. Each and every child of God, even in the hard times and the difficult times as we go through them, the Lord's thoughts are thoughts of peace. His purposes towards us are purposes of peace. To draw us ever closer to him. To prepare us even for the future. The purpose of the Lord. But then the verses 12 and 13. I want you to see as well the prayer to the Lord. The prayer to the Lord. Jeremiah 29 verse 12 it says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. then ye shall call. When? When will you call to the Lord? When you understand that all that is going on in your life? No. Because we'll never understand everything that happens in our life. Even when the hard times come to an end, we'll understand certain aspects of it, yes. We'll never understand the full picture. We see through a glass darkly. We call on the Lord when we trust Him. You see, it's not about understanding at all. But it's rather under trusting in the One who does. Trusting in His will. Trusting in His good thoughts toward us. Trusting in His promises. You know, before they ever came to the prayer time in Israel, the Lord had already given them precious promises. Promises to pray over. We read them in the verse number 10. The Lord had promised to visit them. The Lord had promised a good word towards them. The Lord had promised an end to their captivity. The Lord had promised them thoughts of peace. All of those promises are all stacked up. And then the people come to pray. You know, it's wonderful whenever the Lord gives us promises to pray over. We can go to the place of prayer. We can even cry unto the Lord, whether it be in the private, personal setting, or whether it be in the public setting. And we can simply cry unto the Lord, Lord, you have promised. You have said in your word, there will be an end to our captivity. Lord, you have promised that you will visit me. Lord, you have promised good words towards me. You've promised me thoughts of peace towards me. God, do as I have said. You know, promises of God quicken us and encourage us to pray. You think of the words that are found in the book of Daniel in the chapter 9. Daniel in the chapter 9, the verses 2 and 3, it says this. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the Lord, or the word of the Lord, came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Listen to this. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel read the prophecy of Jeremiah. Daniel understood there would be an end. God has promised an end to our captivity. And whenever Daniel saw that what God had said, and Daniel trusted the Lord's word, then he set himself to pray. To pray over God's promises. You see, the more that we trust Him, the more that we know of God, and the more that we know of His revealed will to us and for us, the more that we will trust Him. And the more that we will depend upon Him. Which in turn will lead us then to seek for Him. See another promise that's been given there in the verse 13. It says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Seek and ye shall find. Hebrews 11, the verse 6, it ends with the words, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, no one who has ever sought the Lord has ever ended up in failure. Each one who has ever set their heart to searching for the Lord has always found Him. It's never been a wild goose chase. It's never had to be called off. It's never been put down as a failure. Each one who sets themselves to search for the Lord with all their heart, they will find Him. We cry on to the Lord. We search for Him. We find Him because we use and we seek Him with all of our heart. See, that phrase at the end of verse 13 is important. With all your heart. That's what is being meant in those words in Hebrews, diligently seeking Him. It's seeking Him with all of your heart. It's putting all of yourself into looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not simply saying words in a prayer for the sake of it. It's not simply just rhyming off an already penned prayer or just going over certain words in your head and just rhyming them off and that's it. That's not real praying. That's not true praying to the Lord. We can't have a lazy approach. But rather, we're to put our whole heart into seeking Him. We're to put our whole heart into our prayers. We're to put all into our prayers. It's to encapture our mind. It's to encapture our thoughts. It's to encapture our words. It's to encapture our heart. I think of the words that are found in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. It says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Listen to this. "When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them." I think as well of the words that are found in 1 Kings 8, in the verse 48. It says, "And so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul in the land of their enemies which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, in thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause." No, child of God, the Lord will never forsake us. The Lord will never abandon us. The Lord has promised, "Seek and ye shall find." We seek with all of our hearts. We will find the Lord, even in our times of tribulation, even in our times of trial, our times of hardship. When we seek the Lord, he will be found. And so, child of God, even tonight, as it's our normal prayer meeting night, come to prayer. Indeed, each time that you cry unto the Lord in times of trouble, or whatever the situation, seek him and cry unto him with all your heart. You know, Hannah in her great distress there in the temple, she couldn't utter a word. The burdens were weighing down so heavily upon her. She couldn't utter a word audibly, but yet her whole heart was in her prayers. And the Lord heard her. And the Lord answered her. May that be the case in our lives. That in our times of struggle, those times of hardship, those times of despair, those times when we're downhearted, may we cry unto the Lord, not because we understand everything that's going on, but simply because we trust him. And may we cry unto him with all our heart. And may we put our whole being, even into our prayers, that we are coming to him with all of our being, crying unto him from the bottoms of our heart, because then he will hear us and he will be found even by us. We've had the pronouncement, the purpose, the prayer. One final thing I want you to see, the verse 14, the prospect. The prospect. The Lord says, "I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." What was the end for the Israelites? Freedom. Freedom. The Lord promised them, "You'll be carried away captive, yes, but you will turn away. Or you will return. I will turn away your captivity. And you will return to your own land. You will return to your place." What is the end that we all look for? The end that we all look forward to? You know, as you go through your times of trial that hold your mind captive, that restrict you so much? What hope have you for the future? Well, firstly, your hope is that you will find Christ. Even in the midst of your trials and struggles, you'll realize that the visitation of the Lord is near. That the Lord has never left you, he's never forsaken you, and when you seek him, you will find him. And when you have the Lord, and even you have that peace that the Lord is with you, he's not left you, he's not forsaken you, then you have that prospect that he will order your footsteps, he will order your circumstances, your providences, and your path will be led even to the Lord and by the Lord. Another prospect is that you will be freed from your captivity. You know, for the Israelites, it was at the end of 70 years. For the child of God, likewise, there is a set time. It may be tomorrow. It may be 10 years. It may be that we're only released from our captivity in terms of our trials, the struggles that we're going through. It may be the case that we're only released from them at death. You see, that's the reality. There are those today that will say, oh, do this ABC and you'll have just everything changed in your life. Positive thinking, change it all. The prosperity gospel will tell you that. I'll tell you that, give you this blueprint, as it were, and that'll just change everything in your life. But for many children of God today, it is only in death that they're released, whether it be from physical struggles and trials, from mental struggles and trials. It's only whenever they see the Lord face to face. I remember a man, church services, he's in a wheelchair. The preacher is always, whenever we come to sing, the preacher just simply said, we'll stand as we sing. Never thought, and of course, the man in the wheelchair couldn't stand. The door at the end of the service, a disabled man, he was wheeling himself out. He just stopped with the preacher, he shook his hand and he said, sir, there is coming a day I will stand and sing. And I'll be singing in the presence of God. Every captivity will come to an end. God's time, in God's way, in accordance with God's will. For the child of God, all captivity will be erased forever. Be a distant memory. It'll be a fleeting passage of time when we consider all of eternity. So, child of God, in your times of downheartedness, let me encourage you to think upon these verses, to remember his word, to trust in his promises, to look with hope, even in the midst of the dark times. Look with hope. Look forward with hope. The Lord never forgets his people. The Lord never forgets anything that is going on in their lives. The Lord is in control of all things. And he only thinks good thoughts towards his own. Now, that's the joy of being a Christian. That's the joy of having the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Not only sins forgiven, peace with God, but you have the greatest protector then watching over you every single step of the way. You know, are you saved tonight? Maybe you're listening in and you're going through hard times in your life, but you don't have anyone to turn to, anyone to trust in. May I simply point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the wonderful verses that we've studied together. Look at the blessings that there are, even in the midst of hardship, that we can have the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler of all things, right there with us. My friend, tonight, if you're unsaved, you can have the Lord Jesus Christ there for you. You simply turn to him. Even as that verse says, cry unto him, seek him with all your heart. Ask the Lord to save you and to keep you. I trust the Lord will bless his word to each and to every heart. And these verses even will have been an encouragement as you've listened in this evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just come to thee this night and we bow before thee with thanksgiving and with praise in our hearts. We rejoice in who thou art. We rejoice, O God, even in the mind of God. Lord, we'll never understand everything that happens in this world. We'll never comprehend it all. But we look to the one who is infinite in knowledge, who comprehends and understands all things. Lord, we do rejoice this night that even in the midst of the trials and the hardships, even in the midst of our despair, yet the Lord thinks good thoughts towards his own people. O God, bless thy word, encourage thy people through it, even in the times of despair and downheartedness. May they take their encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember those that are not saved. Bless them as well, I pray. And even through this study and through thy word, that they will realize that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Be with us and bless us. And do us good. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you once again for joining us and for being part of our weekly Bible study. I do pray that the Lord will bless you and be with you in the days that lie ahead. Do remember, even a child of God, to spend time in prayer, even simply giving thanks to the Lord for his word and even for his goodness and mercy towards us. May God bless each one.